Why bamboo?
Its properties of being flexible and strong properties makes it very interesting from construction, from crafts, from artisan.
Hello everyone, my name is Grace and I'm the host of Driving Eco-Sustainability, My Perspective podcast, where we have conversations about everything climate action, environment sustainability and climate solutions. Today I'm pleased to be joined by a gentleman called Collins. He's from Amabanda and we are going to be talking about building sustainable livelihoods with bamboo. Welcome.
Thank you, Grace. I'm happy to be hosted today and I'm happy to represent Amabanda. I serve with Amabanda as a general manager.
Yes.
And we're into offering sustainable solutions with bamboo.
All right. So share with us a bit more. How do you come to be part of this space? And basically, what's the backstory of Amabanda?
Yeah, so an interesting way that Amabanda started. It started under Bamboo Uganda and it was our board directors meeting for a chat, and when they had a chat, they got into a discussion. There was a guy from Bamboo, and there was Thomas who was coming to join his wife, who was working with one of the NGOs here, and they asked him to join the meeting. And somehow they said talking bamboo, and later it led to opening of Bamboo Uganda, then also other membership organization like Amabanda. So the story of Amabanda has been an interesting one. The father has been Bamboo Uganda, who has been trying to say the child needs to grow, the child needs to be independent.
Yes.
And here we are, the child is independent and trying to fly in Uganda with providing sustainable solutions with bamboo.
Yes, so now someone out there, this seems a bit obvious, but for me, from my view, Amabanda as Luganda, it means something that is strong. So what does Amabanda mean and how did you really zero in down on this name? Is there a reason or a specific reason as to why you chose Amabanda?
Yeah, so like in Luganda,
yes,
direct translation of bamboo in Luganda is Amabanda.
Okay.
So we thought it to be locally sourced, local association.
Yes.
Associated would be bamboo, Amabanda. So Amabanda, yes, it's something hard, but it also speaks into our culture.
Yes.
When we're growing up, we're seeing quite a lot of bamboo used around bars, ceiling options.
Yes.
But in small ways. So we have come up to stand with Amabanda as a name to show that bamboo has always been there in our heritage, and we just have to do quite more so that people can be aware of it. But this year, we even decided to update our logo. Our logo was just Amabanda, but yeah, we have quite a lot of foreign clients, or even those clients who are from different regions of Uganda who don't know the meaning of bamboo. So we had to spice it up by adding bamboo processing industry. Yeah, so we're a processing plant. We're doing quite a lot with bamboo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Colin, so why bamboo? Of all things that you could venture in, why did you choose bamboo?
Oh, bamboo is a very interesting grass. I think we start from the aspect that it's a grass,
yes,
a tree.
I know.
Yeah, so that makes it very interesting.
Yes.
And it's versatile. And its properties of being flexible and strong properties makes it very interesting. So right now you can do quite a lot of applications with bamboo, from construction, from crafts, from artisan, quite many things. So it has quite a lot of potential. So my interest with bamboo has always been from that perspective of what can I really learn? How much can I learn? What is there to learn? What are the new things being done? How can we be part of them? And how can we introduce these new products to our market? Because the awareness of bamboo and also it having a limited market,
yes,
or information has made it even majorly very interesting. That's why you see why even on this podcast, because we want people to know. We're inviting us, asking people to come over, visit the factory, to plant bamboo,
yes,
to be part of the journey we are pushing for sustainability in,
yes,
Uganda. We can't do it alone.
Yes.
We can do it together.
Yes. Now, in the quest of environment sustainability, one of those ways that has been fronted is bamboo use. And the reason, at least out there loosely from what I've heard, is that it helps in a mitigation of climate change because it has a high carbon storage capacity, or known as carbon sequestration. And if we are going to achieve environment sustainability, we are going to have to first save our nature, we are going to have to first save our environment. So how true is this when it comes to bamboo? Because these days, when people are being called upon to undertake climate action, one of the ways they are being told is planting bamboo or incorporating the use of bamboo in agriculture, or stay away from plastics and instead use bamboo-based products.
Yeah, so why bamboo is looked at so much in the help with our environment is, first of all, its property of growth. Bamboo grows very rapidly. So it growing rapidly, it regenerates quite very fast. So it can also help, or that nature of bamboo helps it to absorb quite a lot of carbon dioxide. So which makes it very important in the growth and also in absorbing carbon. So if you look at it from the construction part of it, because it has absorbed quite a lot of carbon, us using it in construction even helps us to store this carbon even further or longer. And if we use bio-based glues, we are then even able to even store it longer, because if we burn this maybe thing, poles for construction, after that structure has lived its use, we can use those products into biochar and then biochar into the soil as a soil enhancer, and then we'll store it forever, not even permanent.
Yes. Now, you've mentioned something about the regenerative nature of bamboo. So how is it achieved? Because if we are looking at eucalyptus trees, usually people plant them and then they cut them down. So how is it done with bamboo? Is it that I plant the bamboo once and I never replant again? I just keep on harvesting? And if so, for how many years do I keep on doing this?
I'll start with the many years, because it's the one which is interesting. You can have a bamboo plant for 100 years.
Wow.
So what makes bamboo very different from eucalyptus? Because bamboo is a grass. And whenever you harvest poles from it, it regenerates. So in Luganda, the sister company which works with propagation, plantations, and nurseries is called Bijimo. And why it's called Bijimo in the local language, it means fertile.
Yes.
So fertile, because bamboo is fertile, whenever you cut it, you thin it, you maintain it, it even grows better and faster. So anyone who is investing in bamboo should know that, for example, if on the sixth year I start harvesting, I'll start harvesting bamboo poles every year. And this can happen for 100 years, as long as you maintain your plantation right. So that gives, one, a better economic sense. Two, it gives the query for bamboo being a big and fitting into helping with the environment or climate. So that's why you see many entities are pushing for bamboo to be planted, to be used as a sustainable resource.
When you mentioned that bamboo is a grass, and by the way, yes, the greatest misconception out there is that bamboo is a tree and not a grass. So when someone hears that bamboo is a grass, someone may think that I don't need to take much care of it, and which is also another myth. Most people believe that bamboo, you just plant it and let it be out there. You don't need much care for it to thrive. Is this true?
Yes, bamboo amidst or amongst other grasses or trees needs limited care. But many people abuse the limited care to no care. So we've had several calls from the factory. Come and look at my plantation. I want to sell. When we go to do a forest verification, the forest has not been maintained well. So the poles are very small. The diameter is small. The plantation has not been able to thrive because it's not maintained. So the myth of that there's no care needed for bamboo is wrong. You need to thin, you need to maintain it so that you're able to have very good clumps and very good poles coming from that. I would like to use the example of matoke plantations, because many of us have lived in homes where the backyard has a banana plantation.
Yes.
And I remember when we were growing up, we were being taught to go down and take out a seedling or the different seedlings around the mother plant to make sure they are fewer, so that one or two or three can thrive.
Yes.
So that you can transplant them to grow your garden. So it's the same theory. A clump will have several poles, which you need to thin, those one which are not thriving, so that you leave those which can thrive, so that they can have a good diameter, but also have a healthy growth. So amidst eucalyptus or other trees, for bamboo, for example, in a year, you can maintain it 2 to 3, 4 times a year, which is not with other trees or grasses.
Yes.
So making it not really need quite a lot of care, like the care other crops deserve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned something to do with the construction and the mere fact that, yes, bamboo is now increasingly being used in the construction industry. But I wanted to find out how easy is it and how adjustable is it for someone to incorporate bamboo within the construction vis-a-vis choosing to use eucalyptus or timber or pine trees, which are commonly used in the construction industry in Uganda.
Yeah, so bamboo as a construction material, one, we're positioning it as an alternative to timber.
Yes.
There's not quite much that differs, but majorly, for example, when we are dealing with nails, that's a major difference. We don't use the normal concrete nails of heating and hitting with a hammer.
Yes.
You crack it down. With bamboo, we prefer to screw in a hole and then you put in the screw with a drill. So that's one of the major difference. But bamboo can actually be used. We have different projects happening in Bwindi. We have a bamboo house in Jinja, across the Nile. So there are quite many. So the concept has been proved and the awareness is going worldwide. So like this podcast is going to transform the way people are thinking about bamboo. And this is increasingly the information we want to push out to the community so that they're able to understand and see bamboo as an alternative to timber. I read a report last week, and the report was saying that 10 years from now, timber will be for the rich. So let's gear up for bamboo because we are really pushing for this ideology of bamboo because the momentum is happening. There's a global shift to use more sustainable and eco-friendly products, and bamboo is one of those. And we believe that, 5 years from now, there should be a big difference.
Yes. Now, you've mentioned something else as well, that in using of bamboo, it's used in construction. Also, the mere fact that it's used in agriculture, agroforestry, also making all these other products from bamboo. So how much is it impacting the creation of jobs and also improving the livelihoods of the people who are close within the communities where these bamboo forests are, or the people who are involved in all these other activities that use bamboo?
Yeah, so bamboo has been used in almost everything. So one, in terms of job creation, for example, Rwanda is working with BGMO to continuously map the forests or the plantations of bamboo. So the moment we map it, we know you have bamboo, we get to know the species, we know the age, we'll be able to buy from you. Remember when we go to harvest, for example, we need local labor. We have labor which is coming from the factory, but also the farmer needs labor to maintain their plantation. So if you look at the multiple effects, just a bamboo plantation and a farmer can be able to hire or employ quite many young people. For us at the factory now, both casual and permanent staff, we have about 26. And this has been multiple effects. Before COVID, we had 40 staff, and we know we're going back for the big numbers the moment we have in the bigger orders for both the local and international market. So the impact in terms of jobs has been seen from the farmers, from the middlemen, from transporters, from giving employment, from providing service businesses in our space, like for example, the people we buy from the treatment solution, the people who provide us with the plastic for the greenhouses, the people we buy from, like hardwares, whatsoever. So it's a multiple effect in the economy, providing jobs for young people, reskilling, because we don't have quite many people who are bamboo carpenters.
Yes.
We're just training bamboo carpenters, bamboo builders, master planners. So it's having a multiple effect on our lives. Now, whenever you go, you find a stocking made out of bamboo, you find toothpicks of bamboo, you find clothes made out of bamboo.
I was actually shocked that stockings can be made out of bamboo
when
I found out that that's possible.
Yeah.
Mm.
And an interesting thing about bamboo and amabanda, we utilize the whole pole. So meaning from the stem to the top, we're able to do something. So from the bottom, we can
make
strips to make laminated board. And above that, we can make shingles. And then above that, we can make biochar, which is used by amaria protein to make soil fertilizer.
Yes.
So there are quite many things we're doing, which really speak into, one, the economic development we're looking at as young people, but also as Uganda, because before we even blame the government, we have to do something.
Yes.
And this is what we're doing to make sure that we are, one, making our communities aware. of what bamboo can do. Two, to understand that the market is actually there. Amawanda is available to buy. We can't buy everything, but we are believing we can buy.
Yes.
At least we'll do rotational buying for starters.
Yes. So now, something that is increasingly becoming common is the mere fact that in as much as we are dealing with a climate change and also enhancing environmental sustainability, we also have to integrate technology. So, and one of those products that bamboo has been used to is to integrate technology services or Internet of Things through use of bamboo. So how is this working from the practical perspective and your experience?
Really? Yeah, so bamboo is having a lot of interest in that area.
Yes.
Because many people are actually using it in industries. One, because of its properties of being flexible and strong. So, for example, there are quite many people now who are doing biodegradable packaging, which you can be able to use, and when it's thrown underground, it can be able to be degradable. But two, we're having, for example, where we supply our bamboo chips, which are used in green composite material. This green composite material can be used to make in car dashboards, to make bodyworks for cars, to make airplane bodies, and quite many things. We're having people even who are integrating bamboo with plastic to even make it harder to be fire resistant. Mm. So we're having quite many things happening in the bamboo space. And now we're even utilizing it in different parts. Many people don't actually know bamboo shoots are food. Like in Bali, and it's a very nutritious food.
Yes.
So there are quite many things we're doing. When I was in China, I saw quite a lot of structures who were using bamboo as like on buildings to shed off light and give a great design.
Yeah.
We have bamboo bicycles in Uganda made by Noldin here with a solar panel. There are quite many interesting things which are happening. The radios, there are quite many interesting things that are coming up. And I know the future with that, with research, like a fertilizer. Today I had a talk with one of our suppliers. They do a soil fertilizer where one of the ingredients is bamboo. We give it to them as biochar, and it's able to be used as a soil enhancer. They've done research on it. They have data on it. They've seen increment of yielding crops. So the future is going to be very interesting.
Yes. Now, Collins, Amabanda, what are some of those products that you specialize in that you make from bamboo?
So I'm wondering, interestingly, for example, when it comes from construction, we're offering everything construction from bamboo. For example, we start from the construction poles. And even if, before you go to the construction poles, we give you fencing poles to make sure that your land is beautiful as you're building your house. And then we can offer you flooring. We offer you ceiling options. We offer you roofing. We offer you, with working with other partners, we can offer you bamboo furniture, bamboo curtains from Dr. Kojo. We have from Bamboo Tena. They will give us light chandeliers. They will give us tables, quite many things. So we actually are building a bamboo house along the Nile, and encourage some of your viewers to come over and actually see, because then there's proof of concept. The house is there. The house is not burnt, and there's been quite a lot of attraction to it, even calling the owner Bamboo Man. So I know that the story is even just getting sweeter. But we're also offering innovative solutions.
Yes.
An interesting product we have done is a biodegradable latrine, which we made for one of our clients in the refugee camps.
How does that look like?
For example, you know our local latrines?
Yes.
Where you have to build brick and mortar over the hole. So now here you just dig a hole and you put in that biodegradable latrine we have made. And whenever it fills up, you just close it. You close it up and it will degrade by itself. So we use strips to make it and out of bamboo, and it's cheaper than brick and mortar.
So you assemble it using bamboo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have interesting products like that. We wall barriers. We've had companies reach out to us to offer stands in their greenhouses. We can do greenhouses now. We can do drying tunnels. So there are quite many things we are doing with bamboo. An interesting product we did at the end of last year was a bamboo shin guard. For football, no one thought that you can use a protective gear of a bamboo shin guard. But now there are bamboo shin guards in the market in Germany for the amateur football clubs. So it's an interesting aspect. Versatile, quite a lot of applications. You just talked about clothing.
Yes.
In China, I saw they make beer from leaves and tea leaves. We've not yet reached there, but yeah, we're getting there. There are quite many applications.
Yes. Now, you've mentioned, yes, it's quite a lot. Like there are a lot of opportunities, a lot of services, and a lot of ways that the Uganda market can pitch in and also benefit from. I don't know whether it's too early for us to call it a bamboo boom, because time is going to reach where bamboo demand is so out there, and maybe even the supply will be less. But now, from that point of view, it feels like the sustainable tourism sector and ecotourism has really embraced the use of bamboo because perhaps it is cheaper. But I wanted to find out from you, from your perspective, would you be able to compare and contrast, let's say, an ecotourism resort or accommodation built using bamboo vis-a-vis the use of timber, cement, and all that?
I think we've done not on all
How
products.
How cost-effective would
Well,
it
not done
be?
It on all products, but I remember last week we did a price unit comparison for roofing material.
Yes.
And the bamboo shingles were actually cheaper because we compared them with eucalyptus shingles, compared them with clay tiles and bamboo shingles. And bamboo shingles came out cheaper. So I know that because of less orders, some of the products may be a bit expensive, but in the future, when we have more orders, some of these, I know like currently we are working on making sure our laminated board is very competitive because it's harder, it's nicer, it's a sustainable material. So I know the future is going to be very exciting because the pricing of bamboo vis-a-vis timber is going to be very competitive. And this is where we are pushing because we want to break ground in East Africa so that our products are known and actually bought. So we know that in terms of pricing, it's a continuous work we're doing, and we know we shall be able to achieve it.
Yes. Now, what's the shelf life of bamboo products? And can you also tell how strong and how long a bamboo construction stands before it gets any issues?
Yeah. So like in Bali, structures have been there 100 years. In Uganda, we've just started, but we anticipate that, for example, the bamboo house we've built will not be here less than 50 years. It will be 50 years and above. Because of our quality control as well in the treatment, because we use baron salts, which is an important aspect in making sure bamboo is durable.
Yes.
We believe that our fencing, our structures, or even the products will be able to last long, because many people now are believing in it. We're having projects where we're re-roofing from thatch to bamboo shingles. People are believing and seeing, but we have to showcase more and more that people can know it and understand. I was saying someone today that Ugandans, we come from a school of thought, we want to see first and believe.
Yes.
So we have put up these structures and we know they are going to live to the test of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So now, from your view and personal experience, what has been the general uptake in the use of bamboo within Uganda in our daily lives? Because as you've mentioned, Ugandans usually prefer to see something. We are very skeptical. We are not really risk takers. We have to first see something working elsewhere before we take it on. So what has really been your experience in maybe dealing with people and convincing the skeptics that really bamboo is the way to go in terms of enhancing environment sustainability, but also cost effectiveness?
So I think one of the biggest challenges has been limited knowledge and information on bamboo.
Mm.
Many people would like to use it, but they have not necessarily had the necessary information. So making it a bit difficult for them to offtake it. But because increasingly we've had opportunity with digital platforms, so we're giving out as much information as possible. But from individual buyers, it's a bit of a difficult task for them to take it in. But the more you explain to them, they're able to understand it. Now, for example, we're working so much with B2B construction companies who are on our behalf convincing their clients to use bamboo on their elevation, their walkways, their interiors. So it's a matter of time. If the push and the momentum is still the same, we believe that we're going to even have quite a lot of individual buyers being attracted to bamboo, because we now have quite many bamboo lodges, which are made out of bamboo lodges. I think Nile Village, Bamboo Something. We have the project going up in Bwindi. And we have quite many others who are utilizing it in the tourism industry.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of time. we're getting there.
Yes. Do you think we still need more awareness, really? Because we always say, yes, we need to enhance awareness. We need to make people aware of this. People need to be informed this. Like, we need to literally cause an information overload so that people literally have no choice but to understand and take it in that bamboo is the way to go. Do you think awareness can really do it? And what are some of the ways that you think that we can innovate around creating awareness and enhancing the bamboo uptake in Uganda?
So I think awareness is a very important thing. Last week, one of the telecom companies here who are big on everything, on marketing, I saw them marketing their mobile money service. And I said, if these guys have been big and taken over the market, even eaten up the small boys who are coming up to compete with them, who are we not to continuously market? Marketing and awareness won't die. We'll have to do it. But I think the different way or the different thing we have to do for bamboo, one, a lot of explainer videos explaining the installation, how we make it, the advantages, and as well as instead of just showing how we do the product,
yes,
we have to showcase them.
Yes.
So we have a forest fair coming up on the 13th, and they're giving tents for every person who is going to showcase. And for us, when we're sitting down in our meetings, we said, but why do we need a tent? Why can't we do something out of bamboo? Because then we'll be the only people not in a tent. So many people will be saying, can I please go to that bamboo structure? Can I please go to that pavilion that is made out of bamboo? So we're working so much on showcase. How can we showcase what we do? That's why there's a house. That's why there's a resort. That's why there are quite many things. So we're believing that the future for bamboo to be understood, appreciated, is going to come so much into awareness, but as well, showcase. I'll give an interesting example. I had one guy who was sitting down with me and saying, oh, bamboo is an interesting grass. We need to invest in it and things like that. Oh, when we had the conversation, the story was so sweet. He went back to bed and the next day he called me. Colin, I've been on the internet this whole morning. I see nothing about bamboo in Uganda. Where is bamboo? Are you sure? It's the thing I have to invest in. And he said, yes, it is. So meaning that there's not quite a lot of numbers,
yes,
online,
yes,
to convince an investor,
yes,
to convince an impact personnel to say that, you guys, we need to take bamboo seriously.
Yes.
So we need to do an information overload of as much information as we can so that people can know, so that investors can reach out, so that facilities like government. Interesting thing about government, there's a 10-year bamboo strategy, and government always will do these nice things for us, but the implementation takes long. So as private players,
yes,
we are up to make sure that the government can be able to implement them, but we're also available to support with the knowledge we've been able to capture,
yes,
or understand in the past years.
Yes. Now, you see, Colin, one of the most important thing in advancing the cause, advancing awareness, is partnerships and collaboration, because it's through partnerships that we are able to scale into territories that would not otherwise have been part of, or that would not be able to tap into. So how has collaboration worked in terms of enhancing the work and the reach and the impact of Amabanda's work?
Thank you. I think the first collaboration is to have Grace on this podcast with us. That's the collaboration. We are up for it. So, Grace, thank you for hosting us. This is the first step towards collaboration. But collaboration has been beyond the podcasts we're doing.
Yes.
Collaboration has been with government, where we're convincing government, for example, to plant live bamboo fences around government schools. We are working with private entities, like I just gave an example of Mamaria Protein as a partner to offtake our biochar. We are working with Bamboo Uganda, who is our umbrella organization, to push for policy advancement, recommendations on areas we think that need change. We're working with sector players,
yes,
like the local artisans, plantation farmers. We're collaborating with everyone. NGOs who are supplying,
yes,
sustainable materials in school. We are working with different experts in carbon credits, like Sinkit. We're working with everyone who wants to listen to our story, who wants to partner with us. And every week, we have someone knocking on our door saying, how can we work together? Last week, we had Solar Punk Now, who are using bamboo to teach architecture students in schools and to remind students to love and like building with resourceable materials. So we're having quite a lot of collaborations this year. Our theme was really to engage with what we're doing. And later, maybe we shall partner with you and then showcase.
Yes.
Maybe next time you'll be visiting us and you are recording this on site.
Of course. Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, these are some of the initiatives we're doing. And we believe that with time, we'll be able to. Because you see, also with marketing and awareness, we have to be in your face every day, every time, reminding you that bamboo.
You have to keep on reminding me that bamboo is a good thing to use. Yes. Now, you did mention something about bamboo and carbon credits. And we know that one of the ways of mitigating climate change or people compensating for their activities emitting greenhouse gases is through engaging in carbon credits trading. So how does bamboo do this? How do people use bamboo to get carbon credits, really? If you can share with us briefly.
Yeah, so most cases, they come and map out your plantation and know the amount of carbon that you are absorbing out of the environment, and then they calculate it for that's one of the methods. Others, like us, we're able to get the offcuts, burn them into biochar, and make sure that we are permanently storing the carbon in the soil. So there are quite many methodologies. Many people are using stoves where they calculate the number of carbon credits the stoves are taking away from the environment. So there are quite many people doing, I know a guy doing palm oil and they're burning it into biochar. So there are quite many things around carbon credits.
But is it a thriving carbon trading market in Uganda?
It's picking up because we have now two people who have licenses.
Yes.
I know guys who have sold so far, both on individual and industrial scale.
Yes.
An interesting thing also, the carbon credits expire. So because they expire, you need to sell them fast. But I've been also encouraging quite other players to start selling collectively than selling individually.
Okay. Yes, now you mentioned the fact that, yes, we even have a bamboo strategy, but you did mention that also one of the biggest problems in our country is that we have policies, we have strategies, colorful, indicating very good aspirations, but we do struggle to implement them. Has this been the same experience in terms of enhancing bamboo usage in Uganda?
Yeah, it's been one of the things, but still, I would like to commend government because, for example, one, they have made sure they pay their membership fees to IMBA, which is an international organization which works with bamboo. So government, that shows their commitment by paying that. They have a permanent representative of IMBA in National Forestry Authority. So because there has not been quite a lot of information on bamboo, I definitely don't want to blame government as such.
Yes.
But I think government as well has encouraged, for example, the Chinese government to invest in Naro, where they're doing tissue cultures. So government is picking up on doing a lot. But yeah, there's quite a lot of force needed from the private players, but also government to make sure that their promise of 10 years can be able to come to life.
Yes. Now, Collins, it's really been an exciting conversation. Now, I want to ask you, what are the future plans of Amabanda? You see, usually, I would like to say that bamboo is relatively still a new concept in Uganda that we are adopting. And you're also here on the market. So you're also hoping to scale other beyond Uganda, to scale through to the rest of the East African countries. And you're also hoping to service clients abroad in Europe, America, and all other places in the world. So what are those future plans? What is the future looking like for Amabanda?
The future is looking bright because we're hoping to increase our product offering. That's one. We're already exporting to Amsterdam for someone who is making green composite material. So we're hoping we're even going to export more in the near future. So our future is bright with opening quite more bamboo industries around Africa, but also exporting more, employing more, also impacting our communities by providing jobs, by providing sustainable practices which can be able to protect the environment. I was listening to something very funny which said we are the only part of the world which destroys where we live faster than the wild animals. So yeah, we need to work towards achieving sustainability so that we're able to protect the environment for our children, so that they're able to enjoy it.
Yes. So now, Collins, you meet someone And they are really skeptical about bamboo. I'll be honest, most of us are skeptical about bamboo use and adopting it. And for you, this is a dream because you believe it's going to save nature, it's going to impact lives by creating more jobs, it's going to transform communities and livelihoods so that we leave the planet not the same, but also better for future generations, because the poor are going to come here when we are not here. And bamboo is capable of outliving both of us and the rest of us in this world. What is that one thing you would share with someone who is a skeptic about bamboo use, but you want to convince them to undertake bamboo use? Doesn't matter which service they want, but something that you would tell them, that one thing you would tell them to convince them that bamboo is the way to go.
First of all, I think when you limit me to that one thing, you're limiting the use of bamboo.
Okay.
I think there are quite many. I would customize the response depending on the person, where they come from. For example, if it's someone who is coming from the construction world, I'd be able to remind them that bamboo is going to be for the rich sooner. So it's better that you become our customer now so that we can give you good prices for the future. But there are quite many other things. If it was... If I was talking to a farmer, I would do them a business model to show them that every year they will harvest 1,000 poles from their acre after every harvest in the 6 years. After 6 years, I know that I'll promise you I'll buy you 1,000 poles next year. Farmers will be happier because they are able to harvest from the same plantation.
Yes.
1,000 poles, they'll be convinced. But like coffee has gone through that dimension of providing market.
Yes.
Who has the market? What's the cost? Who is buying it? Man, bamboo is also going through it. I know many of my colleagues say it's like the chicken and the hen, what came first and how. Yeah, so it's an interesting one, but we are available to support. We also encourage people to come and visit, because many a time when you come to a podcast, many people don't say, is it there? Is it actually happening?
Yes.
So we're there in Mokono. And it's
you're
a bamboo
facility.
And we're in front. Yes. And we're in front of a bamboo plantation.
Yes.
So to the extent that if you want something, we can actually get you a fresh bamboo pole. So
yes,
we're really strategically located to be able to offtake quite a lot.
And a tech startup in Uganda, you know, we have quite a number. If you were meeting someone in the tech startup space, what would you tell them? You know, those ones usually like to be sold dreams, sold the future. What would you tell them about bamboo?
I'll tell them we want a traceability app. We want to trace every farmer, how many clumps they have, how many poles, because we want to estimate what the farmer will get, but also to certify our future with the bamboo. So I'd ask them to develop an app for traceability. How do we map and how do we have data on farmers around Uganda and even beyond? So as a tech startup, a guy will be saying, okay, I've not had anything traceability. So they will be interested on what is the concept and how fast can we be able to develop something like that. So there are quite many interesting topics. I'm open. I was hoping, what would you tell the president?
Okay, what would you tell the president?
I would tell the president that...
You're realizing the biggest dream.
No, I would tell the president, because he's very interested in bamboo and he's talking about it much often, I would say that bamboo is going to bring back the backbone of agriculture in Uganda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now, thank you so much for coming today.
You're welcome.
Yes. Now, for all those who have been here and for all those who are going to tune in later, who are going to listen to us on all our audio platforms, I was joined by Collins from Amabanda. We are going to share their location. We are going to share their social media handles in our episode description. If you've been wondering and you've been skeptical about how you can use bamboo, remember that bamboo is going to save the environment. It's food for climate action. It enhances sustainability. It is a source of money for those who want to venture into it. If you're into agriculture and you plant bamboo, you can harvest it. And remember, it's regenerative in nature. What do I mean? That you are going to plant, but you're going to keep on harvesting for a number of years and making money. Driving Eco-Sustainability, My Perspective. I've been your host, Grace. You can like, you can subscribe for more exciting conversations and discussions about climate change, climate action, and climate solutions. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for watching this video.
I do value the time that you put in to watch every episode. The entire essence I started this channel was to enhance the reach of the voices of those people who are contributing to the fight against climate change and those who are fighting to save our environment. If you like this video, click the subscribe button so that you can equally contribute to enhancing awareness towards climate action. Let's save our planet together.